Go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 5. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for all that you do for us, God, for all that you provided for us. And as we look at your word tonight and study your word, help us to hear from you. God, help us to walk in your truth. Lord, help us to see how we need you more and more every day, that we might be people who build up, that we might be people who encourage, that we might be people who walk in the Spirit and not leave the path of destruction in our lives because we're not walking with you. It's in your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. It's amazing how things can leave a path of destruction. You know, recently we had ice storms, not as much here. We had more snow here, but just east of us, literally as you drive out 52, headed out toward Dawson County, and as you start to get into Dawson County, you can see they started cleaning up in the last week, but you can see where trees are down, and when that first happened, you could literally see places where they had cut trees and moved them out of the road temporarily to open the road back up. And then as you continue on out 52 and head on over toward Dahlonega, if you into Lumpkin County and go that way, you can see more places where trees were down. If you went on around 183 and then across 136 to 400, more places where trees were down. So it was just evident what had taken place there and what had happened and how many trees had to be literally moved back from the road and out of the road for people to even be able to pass those roads. Last year, there was a big ice storm in the Augusta area. And, of course, watching that on the news and, of course, being from there and knowing a lot of the places they were talking about and how long a number of places were without power because there was so much. And what was amazing to me, being a golf person and having been to the Masters several times, looking at Magnolia Lane, where all these huge magnolia trees are, and seeing nothing but frozen magnolias broken and covering Magnolia Lane so that it wasn't even passable. Of course, didn't take them long to clean that up and get that out of the way. But it's just amazing the things that can happen from a weather standpoint that can happen so quickly. When my father retired from the insurance business, he went to work at one of the local golf courses, just kind of basically being the cart guy and the starter and that kind of thing, and just enjoying his retirement. And give him something to do and a little bit of pocket change, so to speak, but also to get to play golf because that was one of the perks. And one of the perks for me was if I went and played golf with him, I got to play for free too. So that was a nice perk to me. But I'll never forget one time when he was working there, they had what a lot of people refer to as a microburst or straight line winds that are really hard. You know, when a tornado goes through, it will twist things. And you'll see trees that are twisted and they're uprooted and they're laid over. Well, this microburst that came through there laid a path straight through one large section of pine trees, and it was amazing to me to look at it because most of them were not uprooted. Apparently, I don't recall, you know, what the weather was like around that, but it was obviously not one of those times when the ground was real soft, because these trees, when that burst came through, were like, it was almost like you'd take remember an old number two pencil? And you'd break it in half. It was almost like that. As you looked at these trees, there would be 10, 15 feet of tree sticking up out of the ground, and it was broken off up out of the ground. So it was amazing to see just this path of destruction. Of course, when we have things like tornadoes or we have things like hurricanes, we see the amazing path of destruction or fires, when fires and what they do to an area and just really scar it and leave so much. Of course, we remember all that happened with Katrina and what happened in New Orleans, and so many people were displaced by that, and many just simply moved and never went back. For all the things that can happen weather-wise, for all the destruction that can take place through various things, one of the worst destructions that can happen in life is to have people leave a path of destruction around those that they impact in their life. When people go through and they carelessly lay aside others and hurt feelings and leave hurt and leave wounds that just don't heal. In this text, God reminds us that we are to honor Him and to walk in faith with Him instead of tearing one another down. And there are three truths in this text that I want us to pay close attention to tonight. The first truth is that the flesh causes fighting. The flesh causes fighting. Now, men and women fight differently. I can remember back when I was in high school, if two guys got into a fight, you know, there was a good chance somebody was going to end up with a bloody nose or a black eye, and the clothes were going to be a little disheveled and all that kind of stuff. But what was so funny about guys a lot of times is by the next day, those guys were probably talking again. You know, it was kind of over with and done. And I mean, I remember one time seeing these two guys fight, and then after the fight, one guy shook the other guy's hand and they went on and everything was good. You know, it's like, why'd y'all fight? But anyway, but girls are different. Now, I don't remember a whole lot of fisticuffs with girls, but I remember one fight in particular that did happen in our school that was pretty serious. One girl's eye got messed up pretty bad, and she had a patch over her eye for months after that fight where the other girl had gouged her eye, and it was an ugly fight. But most of the times, most of the fights that girls had when I was in school were fights of words. Now, it wasn't like they'd stand toe-to-toe with one another and throw barbs at one another. It was, she would say something over here through an intermediary, then an intermediary would go over and keep the pot stirred and get something from the other person. She said so-and-so about you, and then, you know, they'd carry it back, and that would just keep going on, and it would be stuff that was stinging and hurting, and it would go on and on for some time, and everybody would know what was taking place. And it was, girls could be quite ruthless, frankly, and what they'd say and do to one another in the midst of that. And those fights could last for a long time. But while the flesh can cause us to talk about others, it can also cause us to have internal battles as we seek to overcome the flesh. Sin is insidious, and if we don't battle intentionally against sin in our life, it will devour us. Paul understood that battle very well. In Romans, he spoke of that issue in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. And then verses 18 through 21, Paul said this, "For what I'm doing, I don't understand. For I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing that I hate. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I'm doing the very thing that I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good." When the flesh overtakes us, we do things that we know we shouldn't do. Paul was warning the people of Galatia not to let the flesh take over because they would devour one another. Of course, Paul was speaking figuratively in the sense that they would harm one another emotionally, but even worse than that, they would harm one another spiritually. When we're hurt by those that are supposed to love and support us, it can really rattle our faith and cause us to become very discouraged. I've talked with a lot of people through my almost 28 years in the ministry, and I've heard a lot of stories about people's lives and about people's faith and about people's church experience and their church backgrounds. But there's one story that I've heard repeated too many times with different names, different locations, but the same type of story. Stories that go something like this. Well, I was very involved in church. I was very active in church. And this is coming from people who are no longer active in church. I was very involved, very active in church. Really was being blessed by the things that the pastor was preaching, and I was growing. And then a group of people in the church got mad at the preacher, and they asked him to leave. And I haven't been back to church since. Or I've heard, well, you know, our kids were involved in church actively, and things were going great, and they were being blessed by the youth minister, and then somebody got mad at the youth pastor and asked him to leave. Or I've heard, Well, you know, things were going well in the church, really was blessed in the church and was enjoying the music, and then the pastor, for some reason, asked the music man to leave. I'm not asking you to leave, Doug. And I haven't been in church since. When we allow the flesh to step up and overtake the Spirit of God and the leadership of God, lives get hurt and people get pushed away from the things of God. Now, I want to be clear. There are times, hard as this may be for me to say, there are times when it is right and biblically right to ask the pastor to leave. There are times when it's right to ask a staff member to leave. But we had better be sure that we're sticking to the Word of God and not our feelings and not our opinion. If people have not done anything unethical or immoral, then we need to make sure that we're hearing from God in what we're saying rather than just saying, well, I don't particularly like the way that person does this or that. We need to work carefully and intentionally not to allow the flesh to lead us to the wrong conclusion and pursue the wrong things as we work through the strategic planning process as a church, as we work through that together as a planning team. As a church, we need to make sure that we don't operate in the flesh, that we don't look at things through our fleshly eyes, but instead seek to see things through God's eyes, through spiritual eyes. Folks, it is easy for us to get to a place where we use our rationale rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us. I am a practical person, and I'll admit, I can make decisions based on rational facts. I'm analytical. That's who I am. But there are times when it is absolutely wrong to be analytical, because when God steps up and does things and when God directs, it will not make sense. But we must be obedient nevertheless. Be careful not to let the flesh lead you to resist God and fight against what God might be leading to do. So we see that the flesh causes fighting. The second truth we see here is that the flesh can be overcome. The great news for us is that there is a cure for the flesh. It can be overcome. We must walk by the Spirit. Now that all sounds very easy, but if we're going to keep it real here, we have to acknowledge that walking by the Spirit isn't easy, because as we've already read, it is a constant battle. Walking in the Spirit is not possible for those who don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So the first step to being able to walk in the Spirit is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm saddened to say that there are many names on church rolls all over the state of Georgia who cannot walk by the Spirit because they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, and you know it well, just because your name is on a church roll does not make you a Christian, any more than living in a garage makes you a car or eating at McDonald's makes you a Big Mac. None of those things. You're not gaining it by association. You can be a church member without knowing Christ. But once we've asked Christ into our life, once we've placed our faith in Him, God the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. And unfortunately, sometimes that's as far as we get with allowing Him to control us. We need to let the Holy Spirit work through us. Let Him lead us in our lives. It's heartbreaking to see Christians who are living by the flesh rather than by the Spirit of God. Paul goes on to tell us in verse 17 that the flesh is the enemy of the Spirit, and the Spirit is the enemy of the flesh. Those verses that I read to you a few moments ago from Romans 7 are from Paul, and of course this text in Galatians is from Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God, speaking through Paul, lets us know that we're going to have a battle, and that battle will be ongoing, and it will be a hard-fought battle if we're going to allow the Spirit to win. The problem is that too many Christians not only are unengaged, but not even honestly aware that there's a serious battle taking place. We've all heard stories through the years of people who were going through battles that they didn't even know they were going through. I remember not too long ago, and I don't remember all the circumstances of it, but I remember hearing about someone who had had several symptoms and dealing with several things, but was fighting through it, and finally it just got to a place where they couldn't do anything but go to the doctor. And when they went to the doctor, they found out that what they had was terminal, and they basically only had about 2 weeks to live. Had they responded to the symptoms earlier, had they recognized the need to go to a doctor before that, those were things, issues that could have been dealt with, that could have helped keep that from getting to that place. They were in a battle and they didn't know it. And it was a battle that could have been won, but they didn't even know they were in a battle. I'm afraid that too many people in the church are in a battle spiritually and don't even realize there's a battle going on. There is spiritual warfare taking place every day in your life if you're seeking to live for God. Every day. And unfortunately, too many times we're not even engaged in the fight, because we're not doing anything to be on the offensive like we should be. Our defense in the faith is our offense. To take up the Word of God, the sword of the living God, and use it to fend off the enemy. Yes, there is armor that we can put on, but it all begins in God's Word, being equipped with the things that God has for us. God wants us to face this battle. God not only wants us to face this battle, He wants us to win this battle. And the good news is the victory has already been claimed. He claimed it over 2,000 years ago for us on a cross. He claimed that victory for us when He went to the cross and died for our sins. To walk in the Spirit, we must not only have the Spirit of God in us, but we must be feeding the Spirit of God. If you were to go for a long period of time without eating, you'd get weak. Your body would literally begin to feed on itself. If you don't feed yourself spiritually, you get weak. You must dig into the truth of God's Word, but please don't allow yourself to be at that place where, even though Paul would want to give you the meat of the Word, you can only handle the milk. We need to be at a place where we bring the big fork and the big knife to the Word of God, because we want to cut it up and we want to have the meat of the Word, and we want to go deep into Him and to know Him more. The spirit and the flesh are at war with one another, and naturally this world will do everything it can to feed the flesh. Therefore, we must do everything that we can to feed the Spirit. And we cannot feed the Spirit if we're not in God's Word. We cannot feed the Spirit if we're not spending time with God in prayer. Prayer is critical. Prayer is critical. But if you're not in God's Word, you don't know how to pray. This is not an either or. This is a both and. It takes both. We must be in God's Word and we must spend time in prayer if we're going to fight this battle. Work to maintain a healthy balance in your spiritual workout. In your spiritual workout. It's always kind of interesting to me. Sometimes you can tell by looking at me, I am not a gym rat. You follow me? You know, people are gym rat people who just spend all, you know, they work out 6 hours a day. I am not that person. I do work out to try to keep from just being the Pillsbury Doughboy. But I am not a gym rat. But it's amazing. You see some of these guys, you go into the gym, and it's obvious they're gym rats. I mean, they're in there. They're just cut up. And by cut up, I don't mean that in the sense, you know, they're knifed. Muscles ripping everywhere, you know, the abs, they've got the chest, they've got the shoulders, their biceps are so big they can't even hang their arms straight down beside their body, and they've got the V going and all those kinds of things, and their upper body's just huge, and then you look at them and their legs are about that big around. That is the funniest thing to me. You know, honestly, when I see somebody like that, I want to say, are those your legs or are you riding a chicken? Of course, they're so big up top. I'm not saying it. I said I want to say that. I'm smarter than to say that. Let me say to you, if you're not balanced in your prayer life, you're going to be like that spiritually. It's not enough just to read God's Word and not spend any time in prayer. You're going to be all shoulders and biceps and triceps, but not develop a foundation. And you can flip that around either way you want to. You spend all your time in prayer, you're not going to have a foundation in God's Word. However you want to flip that around, but the analogy holds, you must be balanced in your spiritual workout. Time in God's Word, time in prayer. Remember, prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. You're to listen to God and speak to God, not just talk to God. He wants to hear from you, and He wants you to hear from Him. You can overcome the power of the flesh by providing the Spirit power within you by spending time in God's Word and by being with Him in prayer, but it's not going to happen by accident. So we see that the flesh causes fighting, and the flesh can be overcome. The third truth that we see here is that love fulfills all. Now back in verse 14, Paul makes a very, very strong statement when he says, "For the entire law is fulfilled in one statement." The entire law is fulfilled in one statement. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's big. That's a mouthful. But it's absolute truth. So when Paul says that the law is fulfilled by loving your neighbor, then we had better take heed and apply that truth in our lives. Do you remember how Jesus illustrated who your neighbor is? You remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? Remember he said there was this man, he was wounded along the side, and two religious guys come by. They won't even stop and touch him. They go on by. But then the Samaritan comes along, and he has mercy on the man. He tends to the man. He puts him on his own animal. He takes him to an inn because there was no prompt care. There was no hospital in his day. He takes him to the best place he can, and he tells the man, "Here's some money. Take care of his needs, and if it's not enough, when I come back, I'll pay whatever the balance is. I'll take care of it." And then when Jesus looks at those religious leaders of the day and he says to them, okay, who was the neighbor? They're so full of their Jewish selves that they can't even bring it upon themselves to say the Samaritan. Instead, what they say is the one who showed him mercy. We say we love our neighbor. But the truth is we love our friends and we love people like us. How are we really treating those that we don't particularly like? Are we really being a neighbor to those people who don't look exactly like us? Our neighbor's the man who hadn't bathed in weeks, and his clothes don't exactly look good or smell good. Our neighbor's the man with dark skin and dark hair. That makes us a little uncomfortable. Our neighbor's the woman that lives a shady life and hangs out in places that are known to be cesspools filled with drug users and ne'er-do-wells. You see, our neighbor is anyone that God allows to cross our path, and we have to be honest and ask ourselves, are we loving our neighbor? At the risk of exposing myself inwardly to you, I want to be honest with you. And I hope you can love me in spite of my honesty. For me personally, I will confess, it can be very difficult for me to deal with someone who doesn't quite seem to be able to put everything together mentally. It's uncomfortable for me. If I don't know where they're coming from, if I can't communicate clearly with them, it's uncomfortable for me. And if you add to that somebody who doesn't have the same or at least similar hygiene concerns and they smell bad, that becomes even more difficult for me. But I want to say to you, just because that might be my natural flesh reaction, that does not excuse me from loving them and caring for them. Because Jesus Christ gave His life for them. I have to, in that moment, fight the flesh and allow the Spirit to win. God wants us to care for those who are hard to care for us. And it may be something entirely different for you. It may be someone entirely different for you. For some, man, you know, I've seen people who work with those who are challenged in the classroom and just have a real care for them and a concern for them and can love on them and be there for them. I've seen people work with people who have mental handicaps and struggle in that way and learning disabilities and struggle that way. I've seen people who can deal with people in various situations. I mean, just people who have such a caring and compassionate heart. But everybody's not wired the same, but that does not mean that we're somehow exempt from showing the love of Christ to whomever God puts in our path. I had a friend one time say, and I'm not 100% on this theology, but I think there is some truth behind it. He said, you know what? I believe that God can empower you with the spiritual gift you need at the moment you need it. And you know what? God is God. And the fact of the matter is, he can give you whatever you need whenever you need it. Your spiritual gifts may be in this area or that area, but when you need the gift of mercy, even if it's not your spiritual gift, God can empower you with mercy. We can love those who are unlovely to us. So be honest with yourself right now. There are probably certain people that are hard for you to like, much less love. There are certain people that you would avoid if at all possible. There are times when God allows those people to cross your path. And what do? In Walmart when they cross your path? I gotta be honest here. I'm y'all know I'm sarcastic, but I'm also mean-spirited sometimes. If I know that somebody doesn't want to cross my path, I will go out of my way to speak to them. I'm sorry, I know that's mean. I'm just trying to show them the love of Christ. Now understand, I'm not looking for confrontation, but it is immature on our part to be spiteful to someone simply because we feel wronged over something they've said or done. He has forgiven you of far more than they've done to you. We can love them and forgive them in spite of what they've done. The problem in the church is that there can be an awful lot of biting and devouring of one another and not much love for one another. We need to be careful to examine our speech and ask ourselves if we've been talking about our fellow church members, if we've been talking about our Sunday school teacher or our deacon or a staff member or the preacher. God knows our hearts and he has called us to a heart of love and unity and not a heart of bitterness and spite. Paul said it like this in Ephesians 4, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." How are we doing with that? Are we showing humility, gentleness, and patience, and working to preserve the unity of the body of Christ? Is it so easy to overlook our own behavior and forget that we're supposed to be living to glorify God? His love in us, however, changes us and causes us to have a genuine love for others. We can't really love ourselves apart from God. Apart from God, we can't really love ourselves. But when we love God, we learn to love ourselves. And because we love God, we love others. Ask God to give you clarity to see how you're doing at loving others. Again, it's not about how well you can love people who are like you and how nice you can be to people who are nice to you. How can you love those who are unlovely? I'll admit, it's a battle. I find it a constant battle. But God can strengthen me to love others and even those that are hard for me to love, and he can do the same for you. Let's work this week to see how we can fulfill the law of God by loving others and showing them his love in all that we do. Be conscious of those around you that are hard to love and see how you behave toward them this week. Let God fill you with his power so you can love the hard ones. And remember that he first loved you when you were filthy in sin. And he keeps loving you even when you mess up. The three truths we see in this text are: the flesh causes fighting, the flesh can be overcome, and love fulfills all. Rather than creating a path of destruction everywhere we go, why not create a path of grace, a path of healing, a path of God's mercy, a path not of the world's love, but of God's love wherever we go. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that your word is truth, and we thank you that Paul was inspired by you to challenge us to live for you. And Lord, help us not to be people who leave a path of destruction, but instead, God, honor you and edify one another and build others up. Lord, help us to fulfill your law completely by loving our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, whatever we need to do business with you right now, God, help us to honor you in this time of invitation. It's in your precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen.